And this is 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair on a Friday as we all continue to try and adjust to an, albeit temporary, new normal. We're all impacted in our jobs, our personal and social lives, and the impacts on businesses, education, and the economy is just as disruptive. While we journey through these uncertain times, our governmental entities and elected officials are tasked with helping provide the path to the other side of the COVID-19 crisis. But there are changes there, too. Joining us on the WEMU phone line this morning is the representative from Michigan's 55th District. Rebecca Warren is a Democrat from Ann Arbor, and thank you so much for the time today.
Well, good morning, David. It's always a pleasure to be back with you.
Now, we learned yesterday that Representative Tyrone Carter from Detroit has now tested positive for coronavirus, and we certainly all wish him and his family well. But you work directly with him at times, don't you?
I do, David, and this is the important thing, I think, at the heart of Governor Whitmer's stay home, stay safe, save lives order, is last week our legislature, 110 members of the House of Representatives, including Tyrone Carter, who now, as you said, has been diagnosed with COVID-19, the coronavirus, were on the House floor in legislative session for 12 hours. So the 110 of us, plus our staff and the journalists and the committee clerks who were on the floor with us, still have 8 more days to go to know if there's a chance that we could be coming down with it.
So are you all 110 members in self-quarantine at this point?
I think people have been trying to, you know, figure that out. We just learned yesterday of his diagnosis. We reacted very quickly. Most of us have been trying to, you know, do everything that we can from our remote locations. Most people have been doing some form of self-quarantine. It's very difficult because obviously we represent a lot of folks in the state who have a lot of needs and are still expecting us to be there on the job working for them.
To this point, you are asymptomatic, though, correct?
I am. I'm healthy and safe. Thank you for asking, David.
Precautionary measures, as you have pointed out, are so vitally important to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. You obviously support Governor Whitmer's Stay at Home, Stay Safe executive order and the order from Washington Hall Public Health to not only stay at home, but to provide protections for essential personnel that has to go to work. Anecdotally speaking, I see a few less cars out and about on my way into work in the middle of the night. But on my way home in the afternoon, I'm not seeing much of a difference in traffic volumes. What are your observations? Is this stay at home order working?
You know, it's. I think it's definitely working in some areas. I live near a school, and I can tell you the amount of traffic that comes near down my street, just looking out my windows on any given day, are quite a bit reduced, as all of our school children and our educators and paraprofessionals who work with them in the schools are all out at home taking care of hopefully each other and themselves. But I hope that as we continue to learn more about the real serious nature of this virus and its impacts on our healthcare system and our citizens' well-being, that more people will comply with the order. Just to put it in perspective, David, 2 weeks ago today, we had 0 cases in the state of Michigan that had been identified. Today, we're at, over 2,800. When today's numbers come out, I would not be shocked if it was 3,000. So this is a very fast-moving virus. People need to stay home and stay safe so that we can save lives. Our hospitals are working overtime. And that's a pretty significant uptick, David. In 2 weeks now, we're pushing on 3,000 from having 0 cases 2 weeks ago.
And there's no indication we're near the crest or at the peak. So it's going to be certainly important that we follow all precautionary measures in order to stop the spread as much as possible. Once again, this is WEMU. We're talking with State Representative Rebecca Warren of Ann Arbor about governance and priorities during the coronavirus pandemic. The U.S. House is expected to pass an aid package today that will give a bit of boost to individuals and families, public health, education, small businesses, a lot for big business, and to state government and local government as well. Now, once this passes, how is that going to impact the state legislature's ability to supplement aid to those in need right here in our state?
Well, David, we have done a few things already in the state, and one of the reasons we were all at work last week in the Capitol together was we were working on a supplemental appropriations bill. The state has now appropriated $150 million in our general fund, general purpose support that we're putting out there for folks We still have a school aid supplemental that we have not taken action on that we will continue to make sure we have the resources that our public educators and administrators need to get the job done for our students. But what it means is, particularly on the front lines, folks who have lost their jobs, whether they've been temporarily laid off or whether they have been, being told that their jobs might not be there on the other side of this coronavirus, what the support from the federal government will do is actually give us some additional runway for those folks, an additional number of weeks that they can be eligible for unemployment, actually boost the amount of money available per week per individual who is unemployed, and actually an additional just flat out bonus of $600 for folks who are finding themselves in that position, obviously through no fault of their own. So that is, I think, one of the places we're going to see the best impact is directly at the individual level in unemployment. The second piece is really our hospitals. You know, people are starting to understand what kind of a tax this really is on the healthcare system. We have a lot of our hospitals, especially in the Southeast Michigan area, that are literally just bursting at the seams with patients, with their traditional regular patients who have, you know, people's emergencies don't stop happening just because this virus is happening. The federal infusion of those healthcare funds to help our hospitals is going to be really critical. So we're hoping that the House does pass the stimulus package and get those dollars to our healthcare system as fast as possible as well.
You've touched on a number of issues that I want to dive into a little bit deeper, including the idea of a small business stimulus that would keep a lot of folks working once we're past this. We have no idea when we're going to return to any semblance of normal, but we do know that when we come out the other side, many small businesses will be in poor position to hire at previous levels. Some will be gone altogether. So as you look beyond COVID-19 and the worst of the worst scenarios, what do you see on the other side as a measure to get those businesses back up and running and support those who may have been permanently put out of work?
Well, the first thing I want to say to our small business owners here in Michigan, we appreciate you. We see you. We know you are increasingly the backbone of our economy, and we are not waiting for federal government intervention to be there for you. So if you are a small business owner, if you're worrying about how you're going to make payroll, how you're going to pay the rent or utilities on your offices, get in touch with us. Reach out. We've already passed some additional resources in the state. The Michigan Strategic Fund has announced they've got $10 million in direct grants that don't have to be paid off, $10 million additional in loans that will be available in the very first part of April. So reach out to us. And before you lay somebody off, if you have the opportunity to think about some flexible work schedules, we've created a work share program where you can reduce their hours and our unemployment agency will make up the difference, like in a partnership with you. So before you lay folks off, our small business owners, reach out. Let's see what we can do to help, because we'd love to keep you in business. We'd love to keep your employees working. And as the state, we're putting our money where our mouth is. We want to be partners with you.
And beyond small business, there are a lot of teachers wondering whether or not they will receive layoff notices so school districts can save money looking to the future, because we are so uncertain as to how the academic year and the rest of the calendar year is going to play off. So we're still waiting to find out if we're going to see a reversal of the State Board of Education ruling as to whether or not online instruction would be counted as part of the instruction days and hours required. That would obviously affect high school seniors trying to graduate, every school's ability to pass students on to the next grade. Is this something that's going to be resolved soon so that there is some certainty of how to even begin to move forward?
I can tell you that from every colleague that I have talked to, Democrat, Republican, House, and Senate members, how we are going to help our public schools is a top priority. We're all focused on it. We're all thinking about it. We were supposed to be in session this week, Wednesday, to pass that school aid supplemental that I discussed a few minutes ago. We do have to make sure that we have funding for our hourly workers, so our non-salaried folks who are helping in schools every day that now are questioning how their funds are going to be available, for giving those closure days, making sure we're giving credit for the remote online learning days. These are top of mind issues we know we have to solve. As you said, the Michigan Department of Education's initial thoughts on this, really put it back in our lap as legislators. But again, we have the tools to address this. We want to work with our educators and administrators and families to make sure we do the right thing to ensure that our students are continuing to learn, that no kid is held back because of our inaction, and as you said, that our graduating seniors are put in a position to be able to move on to what comes next for them without any delay. And so it's top of mind. We're going to address it. Unfortunately, we just haven't yet.
Economics, not my area of expertise. However, in looking at what the federal stimulus package would include, $500 billion, $500 billion for big business, $43 billion for education. Is that priorities out of whack?
Well, it certainly is not the way that we're doing business at the state level. I can guarantee you that. But as we've talked about many times before, David, you know, the federal government, they get to print money. At the state level, we have to balance our budget every year. So just like your home checkbook, when you look at it, you see what your priorities are. Here in the state, the amount of money that we're going to put into public schools to make sure we come out of this in the right spot on the other side, I can guarantee you is going to dwarf what we're going to put into it, certainly into big businesses. But both are important, right? We have to have that trained and educated workforce ready, ready for the jobs of the future. Our employers need that. So we are going to continue to put our state dollars behind education and consider that a very critical priority.
Our conversation with 55th District State Representative Rebecca Warren continues on 89.1 WEM. You need to get back to the center of the discussion on matters of public health. You've already touched on the fact that, boy, we're bursting at the seams in our hospitals, and we have a shortage of supplies for our frontline health care workers and staff members who are occupying those areas and being exposed on a daily basis. So I know that money has already been allocated to try and address those issues. Patients that are over capacity in Southeast Michigan hospitals are starting to be moved to other areas of the state. What is the state emergency plan if we should get much worse than we are today?
Well, I can guarantee you that our government officials from the most local level to state level to our statewide elected officials like our governor and attorney general, our national, our federal delegation, people are very focused. We're working hard. I was trying to explain yesterday to a friend of mine, it's like our work days have no boundaries anymore. There's no, I'll get to the office tomorrow and call you back. We are working late into the night. And the governor has, one of the things that she set up is almost like a matchmaking service where those hospitals, healthcare settings that are in need of supplies, whether that be gloves, masks, face shields, ventilators, whatever they need, and the companies that make them or can start making them can be matched together. And so we're actively every single day trying to make sure we make those connections that all of our frontline healthcare workers and our first responders who we need to be able to go and do their work even in the face of this current healthcare crisis have the protection that they need. I encourage listeners, David, to check out michigan.gov/coronavirus. This is the place online where the administration is putting all of the things that are happening. It's updated daily if people want to see what's happening with the number of cases that are out there. Unfortunately, the increasing number of fatalities, where those are happening in the state, what kind of resources are out there. It's really an online portal into all the things that are happening. And you'll see just how hard we are all working to make sure we're getting our hands on that. The testing supplies that we need, the reagents to actually develop the tests so we know who our positives are and can clear those who are negative. We're working hard every day. It's still a big challenge, though, because the federal government has made some decisions about taking over some of the deployment of these resources into different states. And we need to keep Michigan top of mind because we do have, as you said, we have not crested yet, David. We still have an increasing number of cases being identified every day. We're doing everything we can here at the state level. We will continue to work hard, but we need our federal partners as well.
We have less than a minute left, and so it's probably unfair to ask, but I will anyway. Our jails, they're petri dishes. If one person gets it, it's going to spread like wildfire. Is Michigan looking to follow New York and California and consider early release for nonviolent offenders?
Our county jails, we have done that across Southeast Michigan. There's lots. We've made a big reduction in the populations in our county jails. State prisons, we're still looking at that. We've taken some steps. We do have at least three of our state prison facilities now that have inmates that have tested positive. We have seven prisoners, one parolee, and five Michigan Department of Corrections employees now at this point that have tested positive. We're taking some steps to try to contain that. And unfortunately, just to be honest, some of our families are feeling the impacts of not being able to have visitation time, but we're trying to make up for that with increased phone call access, increased email access. But you're absolutely right. We're doing everything we can to keep the appropriate distancing that we would have in any other setting. Our jails have been at the forefront of that reduction of population, and in corrections, we're still trying to do everything we can to keep folks safe.
Well, things change on a daily and sometimes hourly basis, so let's check in with one another in the near future for an update, and I thank you for the time today.
I'd be happy to come back on the air anytime, and when we get through the other side, I'll be happy to be back in the studio with you when it's safe again, David.
We will most certainly look forward to that. That is State Representative Rebecca Warren of Ann Arbor. She represents the 55th District. For more on today's topics and access all coronavirus-related stories produced by WEMU and NPR, visit our aggregated coronavirus landing destination right at the top of the WEMU website at wemu.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU.